right, day player and for Bob Surratt this Memorial Day, and it's time for Bob's Record Collection, sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. So Memorial Day is the unofficial start of the summer season, and who better to kick that off? Well, I pulled the Beach Boys vinyl album from Bob's collection with the legendary Mike Love of the Beach Boys. For more than six decades, the Beach Boys' music has been an indelible part of American history, with over 100 million records sold worldwide. Inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1988, Mike Love of the Beach Boys will be coming to Chicago this Friday, June 2nd, at the Genesee Theater up in Waukegan. And ladies and gentlemen, Mike Love of the Beach Boys.
Hey, Dave. Thanks for having me on the program.
Absolutely. Oh, man, I'm thrilled to be talking to you. I am a huge, huge fan. And what always intrigues me about you guys is there is a love for the Beach Boys music that has been unmatched and has crossed 3 to 4 generations.
Well, you're quite right about that, and 3 to 4 oceans, too.
You know, when we're at barbecues at my folks, my dad's playing the Beach Boys in the summer in the backyard. I listen to it. I play it in the car. My 10-year-old knows all your songs. That's what I'm saying. It just crosses so many generations. People love your music.
I have a 20-year-old daughter, Dave, that would, before she could speak, she would toddle up to the record player and go, bah, bah, bah. She wanted to hear Barbara Ann.
That's awesome.
Also came out 50 years ago. Barbara Ann became a huge hit record for
wow.
us. Wow. Along with the Pet Sounds album, which came out in 66. So this year is it's a golden anniversary of a lot of great stuff from the Beach Boys.
Absolutely. What are the early origins of the Beach Boys? You and the Wilson Boys were cousins, and you hung out a lot as kids, and you sang together.
A tremendous amount. Actually, every holiday, Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter, any birthday or anything, always music was the central focus of any celebration that we would have as a family. And when my mother came to California along with her siblings, they were so poor. They came from Dust Bowl conditions in Kansas. My father's side came from rural Louisiana, at least my grandfather Love did. And these people, they didn't have any money, but they had music, especially the Wilson side of the family. My mom sang on the radio in the 1930s.
Wow.
It was a big deal. So music wasn't because we never went into music thinking we'd become famous or make any money at it. We just love creating those harmonies together, and those harmonies are what distinguishes the Beach Boys from so many other groups. And it's because of the love of the music, nothing else.
Well, you did this for family fun. It was really family mm-hmm. get-together. So where did the idea come about that, hey, let's actually formalize this, let's create a band? How did that come about?
Well, my cousin Dennis and I would go fishing off the Redondo Beach breakwater, and we would talk, and we started talking about surfing, which I'd go with my high school friends. If the surf was up, we'd miss a few afternoon classes, to be honest. And we'd drive down to the beach and have a great time. And so surfing preceded the Beach Boys. It was our high school experience growing up in Southern California. And that gave rise, that whole environment, just living a few miles away from the beach, gave rise to the idea of doing a song about surfing. Because there's this whole cult around surfing, the way you dress, the way you, some of the words you would use, and just your attitude in life and stuff. It was all like a little mini subculture mm-hmm. there in Southern California. So we decided to make up a song about it, and that was our first record called Surfin'. Our second one was Surfin' Safari. Third one was Surfin' USA. So each year, 1961, 2, and 3, each year the whole phenomenon grew, and very quickly in the early to mid-60s, the Beach Boys became world-renowned.
So you create the song Surfin', and Candix Records, which was an independent label, released the song, but now under the Beach Boys. So how did you go from the Pendletones to the Beach Boys?
A fellow named Russ Regan, who was a record promotion man at the time and eventually became the head of a couple of big major record companies, he actually is the one who named us that. Pendleton Mills made these kind of woolen shirts that were plaid that you would wear over your T-shirt when you're at the beach to keep warm. So the surfers all wore the Pendleton shirts, Pendleton Mills.
Mm-hmm.
So we call ourselves the Pendletones, but that didn't stick, because when we heard Surfin' by the Beach Boys, we said, well, that's better than what we got. So we, yeah. we, eagerly adopted the term the Beach Boys, and it made sense because, you know, we're all from that Southern California environment. Dennis Wilson and I and Al Jardine, we all had our surfboards and were we good surfers? That's debatable.
Okay.
but we were part of that culture, you know, part of that Southern California culture, and it became the very cornerstone of our success.
In the very beginning, how did you all decide who was going to do what exactly with the band?
I would sit down and write music with my cousin Brian. So he would sit at the piano. I would stand beside him with a notebook or some paper, and we would figure out the songs. He would come up with the chord progressions primarily. I would come up with the lyrics and the concepts. So because I was sitting there right with him writing the songs, it fell to me a lot of songs to sing the lead. So whether it be Surf and Safari or Surfing USA or California Girls or I Get Around or Fun, 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 any of those songs, I would sing the lead because we were writing them together. Mm-hmm. So he would be banging them out. I'd be singing along and I'd be coming up with the words or the hooks, like round, round, get around, I get around. I came up with that. So because he and I wrote them together, it fell to me to sing the lead on many of them. Of course, on the ballads, he would take the high part.
Sure.
I would take the low part, and Carl and Alan would be in between on something like In My Room or Surfer Girl or that kind of thing.
And, you know, you're performing again, Family Functions. You're now recording music. Do you remember that first time you hit the stage that, you know, you were a paid performer, like on a big act? Was that in 1961? When was that?
New Year's Eve, December 31st, 1961, New Year's Eve. We were on a show at Long Beach Municipal Auditorium, a Richie Valens Memorial Dance and Show. And on the show was Ike Turner and the Kings of Rhythm.
Wow.
Tina Turner was an Ikeette. They blew my mind. What a groove they got into. And there were other acts on the show, such as the Rivingtons, who had a song called Papa Umau Mau, which we actually covered. We recorded it on our live album a couple years later. But, yeah, that was the first time that, I mean, we did three songs. We got paid $300. And I thought, hey, this is pretty good, $60 for five of us.
Right? Wow.
$60 for three songs, that's pretty good. And so nowadays we look back on it and it's hilarious, you know, but at that point in time we were nervous. We weren't sophisticated. We hadn't been on stage that many times, maybe at a high school, you know, assembly or something.
Sure.
But yeah, that was the first time that I remember being on a show. And that's the night I made the decision, well, I'm not going to be nervous anymore because that's just, you know, affecting me. So I'm just going to go out and do the best I can. That's going to have to be good enough.
For 55 years, almost, exactly. We are talking to the legendary Mike Love of the Beach Boys, and there's more when we get back on 720 WGN. You released the second single, Surf and Safari, back with 409, and soon thereafter you signed with Capitol Records, and Surfin' USA came out. Was that the song, Surfin' USA, that really got you national attention? Was that the big one?
Yeah, it was. It showed up in the charts in Israel, South Africa, Australia, Philippines, you know, all over Scandinavia. But it turns out surfing is very close to serpent, which means drinking. So it was a drinking safari or drinking USA.
People love that, I'm sure.
to some people, yeah. I mean, it worked.
That's awesome. Now, I know the Beatles were on The Sullivan Show in 64, also on Capitol Records. It doesn't seem like they really made a big impact at all on what you guys were doing here because the hits just kept coming.
Well, it was an impact because they were so tremendously popular, and it was like an explosion of popularity. But right, like I was saying earlier, that, you know, in 1966, we had Good Vibrations. We were voted the number one group in Great Britain. So even at the height of Beatlemania stuff, the Beach Boys did, we were awed by their success and their creativity as they were ours. You know, I mean, the Pet Sounds album really blew couple of minds, and you know, John Lennon and Paul McCartney, they listened to it, and Paul said, oh my, what are we going to do?
That's awesome.
So they got busy with the Sergeant Peppers, and And in Rolling Stone magazine, they had a coffee table of the, what, the top 500 albums of all times or something. And number one is Sergeant Pepper's, and number two is Pet Sounds.
Pet Sounds, yeah, exactly.
So I demand a recount.
Nice. Well, then, you know, I Get Around came out. Fun was the other one. And I know I've heard you quoted as saying this, that you might have sang Fun now for like the 6,000th time.
Probably close to it. I mean, we've right? done at least 5,500 shows over the last 55 years. So it's very likely that we have done it, because that was, you know, one of the earlier big singles. And we close our show with it. And I like to leave the people leaving them think the concerts thinking fun. They had fun
when they came to see him. So, absolutely.
To me, that's pretty important. That's the whole idea about our show, is to create some positivity. And sure, we have some melancholy stuff, like if we'll sing The Warmth of the Sun or In My Room, but you know, there's some upbeat, real fun songs, you know, Help Me Rhonda, I Get Around, fun, Surfing USA, all those.
Oh, they're all upbeat. You can't help but feel good when you listen to the music.
And that's the idea, because I've always called what we do a sonic oasis. There's a lot of problems in the world, a lot of problems in personal lives, and you know, and for a period of time to either play a song, play an album, or come to a concert, you know, we don't avoid emotion, that's for sure, because we've all experienced it, and we put it into our songs, God Only Knows, and, you know, that kind of thing. But I think the music should be to uplift and entertain and bring happiness. That's my, you know, I like to accentuate the positive. Even if something isn't fantastic, you can usually find something good about whether it was, you know, falling out of love with somebody, or somebody doesn't love you anymore. At least you had felt that feeling at one time. So there's a whole range of emotions that Beach Boys music touches upon. And I think we've gotten nothing but great positive feedback over the years from so many, you know, thousands
sure.
of people.
Absolutely. Well, even California Girls that came out, you know, the song was included in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame songs that shaped rock and roll. I mean, and so many of your songs are noted in the history from, you know, Rolling Stone magazine and all these, that it just has the most incredible impact on music in general.
Yeah, I know. We're very blessed that a family hobby would become a profession, and a long-lasting one at that. Yeah, yeah. 1966, though, that's 50 years ago, and what a year. Barb ran in the early part of the year, big hit.
Yeah.
Pet Sounds released, you know, Good Vibrations in the fall. I mean, that's quite a year.
And you did so many live albums, too. You did the first live album ever to hit number one. In 1970, you you guys signed a contract with Reprise, released a double album, The Beach Boys in Concert, that went gold. Your live albums were huge.
Well, you know what it is? The Beach Boys live, I mean, that's where it's at. I mean, records are great, and radio's great, and having your songs and soundtracks is wonderful, and it's all good. But the experience of a live concert where the music is being performed by the group that was involved in making it, and the energy between the audience and the performers is amazing. I find that, you know, multiple generations, I mean, grandfathers, grandmothers, and their children, their children's children, they'll all come out to a show, and they'll all enjoy the same music together as a family. To me, that's miraculous. It doesn't always happen like that, because the kids will have their heroes, and the parents will have theirs, and the grandparents will have theirs. But we find that the Beach Boys, multiple generations, will come to our shows and have a great time together.
And throughout your career, you've co-authored, you know, more than a dozen top 10 singles, cementing the Beach Boys' legacy alongside the Beatles and Michael Jackson, as the only artist to have produced 12 top 10 singles within 5 years. You amassed 35 top 40 tunes. 8 of your first 10 albums landed among the top 10, still performing over 150 sold-out shows a year all over the world. It's American music history made right here, and the story continues. And that is the legendary Mike Love.